Well, good morning once again. How's everybody doing? Blessed and wonderful. We can be both. We're allowed. We have that freedom, don't we? We have that freedom. And God has the freedom to change things sometimes, too. And he's going to change my sermon just a little bit. I'm going to add something to the end. Oh, he does that. He says, guess what, Wayne? Yeah. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. You've given us another beautiful day, Lord. You've given us a wonderful life, Lord, that we can live and we can bring glory to your name, Lord. Help us to do nothing but that, Lord. Touch your people today, Lord, please. Do what you do. You're amazing, Lord. Reach into our hearts, Lord. Make the changes you want to make. You're the potter. We're the clay. Mold us. Shape us. Create us into something that's beautiful, Lord. Lord, many of us come to you broken. And you repair us. You make us better than ever. Lord, pour out your word this morning. Open up heaven for us, please. Help us to receive from you, Lord, what you freely give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if I can read my writing. I know it's printed up off the computer, so because what he told me to change wasn't the only thing that I had to change this morning. So some of it's in ink. And you know that song we sang says we were prisoners, but now we're running free. We were prisoners. See, what I'm talking about today is supposed to be freedom. That's the one word he gave me this week. Freedom. How important is freedom? You know, to be honest, the last few years, we've lost some freedoms. They say it's for the common good. You know, you've got to trade one thing for another. But we have lost some freedoms. But, you know, the same thing happens in the spiritual realm, too, doesn't it? We go through things. Things change. Sometimes we give up freedoms there. We were prisoners, but now we're running free. That made me think of Malachi 4:2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall grow up like calves of the stall. Actually, I like it better in a different translation. It says, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and leap for joy like calves from the stall. Frolic. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy our salvation, our relationship with him. He wants us to run. Leap for joy. Isn't that amazing? Freedom. Do we have the freedom to do that? Sometimes the only thing holding us back is ourselves, right? You know, I used to listen to a lot of rock and roll music. And I didn't just listen to ordinary rock and roll music. I liked the really long cuts with the guitar and the drums. And my favorite guitar player, and I won't argue with you about it. You may not agree with it, but I think probably the best guitar player there ever was a man named Alvin Lee. He was with a group called 10 Years After. And he died a few years ago. But he did an album with a man named Mylon LeFever back in the 70s. Mylon LeFever was born into the LeFever family. They were gospel singers. The whole family was, and they had been for a long time. Mylon LeFever, when he was 17 years old, he was able to reach Elvis Presley and give him a song that was really, a pretty big hit or pretty popular song on a gospel album called Without Him. He wrote that when he was 17 years old, and I think he won a Grammy for that. I'm not sure, but he's won Grammy Awards. He was with a group, he formed a group called Broken Heart, and he did a lot of Christian rock, and he did a lot of music. But he did an album, as I said. Everybody know what an album is? One of those vinyl things that has grooves? Question, how many grooves are on a record? One. It just continues. Okay. You can fool your friends with that one. Mylon LeFever did a record, a recording with Alvin Lee. And it was more acoustic than anything else. It was really subdued, but it was really beautiful. And some of the songs they had, there was a spiritual message in it. It wasn't really heavy, but it was there. And the name of the album was On the Road to Freedom. And when I thought of freedom, I instantly thought of that On the Road to Freedom. You know, are we totally at freedom right now? We're getting there. Because we're on the road to freedom. That means we're progressing. That means we're moving towards it. And with God's help, we're getting there. I read an interesting definition of freedom in the Strong's Concordance. Where'd I go? There I am. I must have turned my head just a little bit and I lost it. Maybe if I turn the microphone like this, it'll cover the whole width. Anyway, this definition of freedom, to spread loose. I don't know what that means, but I just found it interesting. To spread loose. What is freedom? Is it the freedom to do anything we want? Can we go into a crowded theater and yell fire? There's limits to freedom, isn't there? What is freedom not? Romans 6, 1 and 2, and also verse 15. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In verse 15. What then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. What takes away our freedom, our liberty? Do we have a hand in that? Yeah. I think sin takes a lot of it away, doesn't it? But what causes it? What else can cause it? Do we take it seriously? Do we take our freedom, our liberty seriously? Is our wrong line. Do we minimize its value? How important is it to us? Do we take it for granted? Do we get complacent with it? We can get complacent about our relationship with Jesus Christ, can't we? And that's what leads to our freedom. Our relationship. Do we accept it only if it's convenient? If we can work it into our schedule or work it into our thinking, are we willing to fight for it? I'm not talking about politically, I'm talking about spiritually. Politically, I don't know how that's all going to pan out. I'm just praying God's going to make the changes he wants to make, and everything we go through is going to be allowed by him. That's my prayer. But what about us? What about our freedom? Do we have to fight for it? We got an enemy that wants to steal it from us. He wants to put us in bondage. That's what the law did. And yet there's some very good instruction in the law. Bondage. Here's a question for you. Is our freedom in Christ actually bondage? You know, some think so. That's really a stupid question, isn't it? If you think that it's bondage, then you better reevaluate your relationship with Him. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall set you free, depending on which translation you read. Freedom. What are we free to do? We're free to love Him. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Some translations say, if you love me, obey my commandments. But I believe it should be, if you love me, you shall obey my commandments. There's two ways of taking that. That means we obey, we love Him, so we're going to obey His commandments out of love for Him. But it also means the more we love Him, the more we're going to automatically, we're going to be inclined to obey His commandments. When decisions are to be made and when situations come up, we're going to choose what's right if we love Him, because He'll guide us to it. He'll change us. We want to please Him, don't we? I know there's a verse in Ezekiel that I've mentioned several times. It talks about how the people's idolatry crushed God. Crushed. That had a very, very significant impact on me when I read that and I understood what I was saying. That the things I do, the sins I commit, hurt Him that much. Him who died on the cross for me. Jesus wept 3 times. It talks about Him crying. And I believe every time in the Bible where it talks about Him crying, He's talking about sin. He's talking about the people's sin and the people's basically running to another lover, because He compares it to idolatry. He compares it to fornication and adultery. But we're free to love Him. We're free to follow Him. You know, God is a God that invites us, doesn't He? How many times in the Bible did He tell the disciples, follow me? Every one of them, I think, He probably told them that. There's an awful lot of them. There's several in John. And there's, you know, when he first encounters John and James and Peter and Andrew, follow me. Matthew, follow me. And immediately, what they do? Immediately, they have you decided to follow Jesus? Why do we follow Him? Because He's our shepherd. I saw a picture, and it showed this shepherd just walking along, and all these sheep behind him. Just, it's what we do. We follow Him. And that's Jesus. In John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, the sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. You know, when you follow somebody that knows the way, that makes it a lot easier for us, doesn't it? It works out real well that way. So follow Him. We're free to obey Him. Now, how does that work? We have a choice in everything we do. Our relationship with Him removes the desire to sin. It enables us to obey. We make that choice willingly, don't we? We can go out there and we can be enjoying the world. You know, in Hebrews it talks about the passing pleasures of sin. Sin leads to bondage. It's not always enjoyable. It doesn't have to be. When I drank, I was a happy drunk for a while. Then one day the devil said, well, I got him now. He doesn't have to be happy about this. I'm going to make him miserable. And that's what he does. The passing pleasures of sin. We're free to serve Him. We're free to worship Him. I put those two together for a reason. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or in some translation, it says your reasonable worship. It's the same thing. Service is worship. Worship is service. Abraham told his servants, you guys stay here and take care of the animals, and the lad, he was 35 years old, the lad and I are going to go yonder and worship. We'll come back to you. He's going up there to kill his son because God told him to. God was testing him. Service, worship, obeying God. We're free to praise Him. We can dance like David. Have you read the story of David? They're bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and he takes off most of his clothes, and he just goes before the Ark of the Covenant, jumping up and down and dancing and singing, just enjoying the moment, enjoying everything that's happening. His wife, Michal, who is a real work, was looking out the window, and then she gave him a bad time about it. She said, you know, how dignified you look out there leaping and jumping. And he said, I will do that, and I will do more. I'm praising my God who has made me king over your father. Does that mean we should jump around? It means we can. We don't stop anybody here from doing that. Praise Him. Dance like David. You know, David, when he was going before the Ark of the Covenant, marching into the gates of Jerusalem, he was taking the posture of a conquered king. That's what they did. They would conquer a king and his army, and they would force the king to march before them back into their hometown and in submission. David gladly put himself in total submission to the one that conquered him, God. We're free to pray to Him. He's never too busy for us, is He? But just hold on a minute, you know, and let me put you on hold. God doesn't have that button on His phone. Yeah, I'll get back to you. Leave a message. Now it says in Hebrews 4:16 that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, seeking help in time of need. Boldly. Ask Him anything. He might tell you no, but He'll always tell you, or He'll always grant it according to what's best for you and what's best for His purpose, which ultimately is best for us, right? His purpose. If it's not His purpose, if it's not His will, I don't want it. I don't care what it is. We're free to imitate Him. You know, they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Do we love Him? Do we want to be like Him? There you go. Imitate Him. The Bible talks about that, doesn't it? Paul talked about that a lot. We're free to trust Him. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust Him about everything. You know, that's one of the most important verses in the Bible. Because there's things in the Bible sometimes that you just don't understand. Or they don't seem right. The way the Bible starts, I talked about this not too long ago. In the beginning, God. Where did he come from? I don't know. All I know is I trust him because he said it. That's all he has to say. He puts it out there in front of us and says, believe this. Okay, I will, because your word is true, and I trust you. We're free to believe him. Here it comes. Do we have any whosoever's in here? Raise your hand if you're a whosoever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're free to believe him. The enemy wants to take that away from us. But Jesus brings victory. Jesus breaks those shackles off us. We're free to know him. Once again, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, shall make you free. Set you free of what? Sin. Set you free of guilt, sin, the penalty of sin, the shackles of sin. If you obey my commandments, it will be well with you, it says in Deuteronomy 7 several times in different one form or another. If you obey my commandments, it will be well with you. You know, as I mentioned before, that's what we tell our children. It will be well with you. Our grandchildren, they don't listen. I showed them a roll of duct tape. I said, guess what? I can't spank you. But I can tie you up with duct tape. Maybe even put a piece of duct tape over your mouth. I don't know. God give me patience. We have the freedom to choose, don't we? Sometimes we learn the hard way. Sometimes we learn the hard way. We're also free to seek out the truth in the Bible. Sometimes, as I said, it's not easy. Sometimes it's difficult to, sometimes it raises questions. What do you do when you encounter something? There I go. There I am. What do you do when you encounter something in the Bible that you have a problem with? What? There you go. Well, actually, the first thing I do is remind myself that the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with my understanding of the Bible. And sometimes it can be something just very, very simple. And we read it a couple times today. The third commandment says, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That means don't make it meaningless, don't make it empty. Did Paul do that? God forbid. Was that just a saying that he threw out there, or was there some meaning to it? Actually, he did it more than twice. And we'll get to that. What do you do when you encounter something in the Bible that you have a problem with? The first thing to do is remind yourself that the problem is not with the Bible. The Bible is true. So the problem is with my understanding of what I'm reading. It doesn't hurt to have questions about something you read in the Bible. But search it out. Learn from your questions. Paul used God forbid in Romans 3:4. 3:6, 3:31, 6:2, 6:15, 7:7, 7:13, 9:14, 11:1, 11:11, 1 Corinthians 6:15, Galatians 2:17, 3:21, 6:14. It's also used by Jesus' disciples in Luke 20:16 when he was talking about going to Jerusalem, and they said, you know, to be crucified, to die, and they said, God forbid that this would happen to you. Well, that kind of tells you a little bit about the meaning of God forbid, doesn't it? It's in the Old Testament. Genesis 44:7, 44:17, Joshua 22:29, 24:16, 1 Samuel 12:23, 1 Samuel 14:18. There's a couple more. I'm going to mention them in just a minute. 1 Kings 21:3 and Job 27:5. As I said, there's a couple more in 1 Samuel 24:6 and 26:11, where David said when he had the opportunity to kill Saul, who was trying to kill him, he said, "God forbid that I raise up my hand against God's anointed. God forbid." 1 Corinthians 11:15 and 19, 15 through 19. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David unto the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim, and David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of water in the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate." He longed for home. He longed for the taste of the water at home. And the three brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord and said, "My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest." Getting back to Paul, I believe what Paul is speaking out against is so wrong, he's literally seeking God's intervention in it. Does that make sense to you? Does that seem true to you? What is being suggested is very, very wrong. Phillips, in his translation, translated it, "What a ghastly thought." I don't think that goes far enough. I don't think it does it justice. I think it goes way beyond it just being a ghastly thought. Otherwise, it's meaningless. It's using God's word, meaningless. I translate it after praying about it and studying it and, "Please, God, don't let this happen." Does that make sense? A little lesson there in interpreting the Bible. Now, as we mentioned before, we're going to be baptizing people at the river today. And I want to read from Ezekiel, chapter 46. And he said unto me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, I behold, at the bank of the river were many, very many trees of one side and the other. Then said he unto me, "These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river comes." There's healing in the river. There's healing in the running water. "And it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from En-Gedi, even unto En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many." There's abundance of blessings in the river. "But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall be healed, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt, the swamp." Okay, I started reading a little bit too soon, or too late, actually. I'm going to go back to verse 2. "Then brought me Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without into the utter gate of the way that looked eastward. Behold, there ran up waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. I don't think it was a mistake that I read what I read first, because that's all true, and it does set this up. How deep into the water do we want to go? Rita had it on her heart to go deep into the waters. That's why she came to me yesterday wanting to be baptized. She's been baptized before, but she wants to be closer to God. Can we be baptized more than once? Yes, we can. I was. I wanted to be baptized in the river, because there's just something about the running water of the river that just appealed to me. And others said, yeah, me too. So once again, I'm going to say that we're going to be down there at the bridge by Flying J. And anybody else that wants to be baptized is welcome to come. I think we have, what, 5 so far? 6. That's right, Wendy. See, it just keeps increasing. How deep do we want to go out? I don't think we're going to measure 1,000 cubits out into the river. That might be a little further. That might take us into California. We don't want to do that, do we, Thomas? You know about California. You live there. Nah, California is California. A cubit. What's that? No. No, let the water come up to you, right? Anyway, so anybody that's welcome to join us, anybody that wants to join us is welcome. And we'll be doing that, not directly right after church, but fairly soon. We'll give everybody a chance to, and we're going to meet back here. And I have to coordinate this with the person that's actually driving. I'm just along for the ride, no. Anyway, we want to draw closer to the Lord, don't we? There's many ways to draw closer to the Lord. Each step. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are free to choose, and we choose you. We are free to choose, and we choose your ways. And we know, Lord, that choosing you and choosing your ways is going to set us free from other things that the enemy tries to shackle us with. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you open our hearts to receive everything you have for us. I thank you, Lord, that you impress on us what we need to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us freedom. Lord, bless your people today. As we go our ways, Lord, I just pray that your hand of protection will be on all of us, that you would keep us close to you, that you would keep us focused on you, that you will open up opportunities for us to share what we have and what we are with others. Lord, I pray that people will see us from the bridge. It's happened before. You've done it before. Bring them down, Lord. We may be out there all day. That's okay. It's a nice day for it. It's not February. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, bring us back safe when we join together in your presence once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.